Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on all of the companies that decided to leave Russia after the Russian invasion started. Over the course of the last 30 years, as the Soviet Union integrated itself into the global economy, numerous multinational companies decided that they either wanted to set up operations in Russia or joint ventures or just to export their products directly into the country. It was growing economically, a large middle class grew up, and there was demand for a variety of different products. So this proved to be a very attractive and lucrative market for a variety of companies from the West. However, most Western companies decided that they couldn't live with the politics of the situation with Ukraine, and most of them decided to up sticks and walk out and leave all of their businesses behind. And obviously, over the last 20 years or so, large amounts of cash has been invested into those businesses. And in today's video, we're going to have a look at the announcements that have been made by companies at the end of 2022, declaring exactly how much money they've lost, how much they've written off as a result of exiting from Russia. And we'll have a look at what the cumulative impact of all of this will be and what the implications will be going forward, both from Russia's perspective and also the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. Genuinely appreciate it. And once again, I'm experimenting with the lighting today, so we've got a blue background. Let me know what you think. This isn't the final version. I'm still waiting for more lights to appear, so hopefully it will be brighter and slightly different in the future. But this is my first stage of changing things up a bit. So let me know whether you like this colour or some of the other colours that I've been running in other videos. As I'm sure you'll be perfectly aware if you follow the channel, Russia has a large amount of natural resources, and over the course of the last 30 years, it developed those industries in conjunction with overseas partners, companies that had long-standing histories of developing oil and gas in difficult areas. Russia wanted to utilize both the expertise of these companies and also their capital investment. So a lot of companies such as BP, Shell, and ExxonMobil teamed up with Russian counterparts to design and build drilling and extraction facilities and to establish joint ventures for the sale of those products all around the world. Now, immediately following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, these companies came out and stated that they no longer wanted to invest any further capital, and many of them stated that they actually wanted to exit the relationship entirely and walk away from the billions of dollars of investment that they'd been putting into these facilities over the course of the last 20 years or so. And we've now got the results which show exactly what the full year impact for 2022 has been for these companies. BP is the company that has incurred the single biggest loss as part of their full exit out of Russia and declared a write-down of $24 billion relating to its stakes in Rosneft and two other joint ventures in Russia. The company that's incurred the second biggest loss in the world is the French business Total Energies and has recorded impairment costs of $10.7 billion. Shell, which is the world's largest trader of liquefied natural gas, and had been involved in a joint venture facility on the island of Sakhalin with Russia, have written off $5 billion of investment as a result of their decision to fully exit from Russia. ExxonMobil, a giant US oil business, was one of the first to develop a joint venture in Russia and has disclosed a $3.4 billion write-down relating to its full exit from the country. OMV, the Austrian energy business, has taken a €2 billion hit on its decision to exit. The Norwegian business Equinor has shut all its facilities, incurring a loss of $1.1 billion. And Enel, the Italian utility business, sold its 56% stake in Enel Russia for around €137 million, incurring a loss of €1.3 billion. So the figures that we've just walked through for the seven oil majors who have exited Russia account to $47 billion. But of course, that's just the capital investment. In oil and gas, you have to spend a lot of money up front to set up your facilities, to get all your drilling rigs in place, to have everything on site before you can start the production, release all of the oil and gas, and start the actual business. And the whole point of these international businesses going to Russia to set up these facilities was that they would have a long-term income stream. Once you've gone through the pain of designing, building, and setting up the production facilities, you can sit back and watch the profits flow through. true. And these oil and gas fields in Russia are absolutely huge, and they will have an estimated life of somewhere between 30 and 50 years. So these are very long-term investments that have been set up to produce long-term cash flows. These businesses will become cash cows over the medium to long term. However, unfortunately for all of these Western businesses, they've gone through the pain of the upfront investment, but they're now having to walk away before they see those long-term cash flows feeding through. So the long-term impact on these businesses isn't $47 billion. That's just the initial cost. It's actually all of the lost revenues and profits that they're walking away from. So this will be in the hundreds of billions of dollars, if not touching on $1 trillion over the course of the next 30 years or so. And whilst all of these Western businesses will survive, because they've obviously got investments all across the globe and they've got large oil reserves, when you look at what they've lost, it's actually quite significant. When you look at historic BP accounts, the share of the oil that they had in Russia equated to around half of all of their reserves and around a third of their total production. So walking away from those supplies is obviously material from a business perspective. And of course, the loss of this business will also have an impact on the global economy. French carmaker Renault had set up its own facilities in Russia and also had a majority stake in Russia's biggest carmaker, AutoVaz. As a result of the invasion of Ukraine, Renault has now exited from the country and sold its stake in AutoVaz for 1 ruble, incurring a loss of €867 million in the year. Nissan, the Japanese car company, had also set up facilities in Russia. However, they have now sold this for 1 euro to a Russian state-owned entity, incurring a loss of $687 million. Volkswagen, the German car business, had set up a truck division under its Traton brand and have now disposed of this, incurring a loss of €550 million. Volvo, the Swedish car manufacturer, has suspended all of its activities and set aside provisions of $423 million. And finally, the US car manufacturer Ford, which actually has two large manufacturing facilities in Russia and quite a large business, hasn't actually decided to exit from Russia yet. It's only suspended its operations as it stands currently. And so far, they have only taken a $122 million write-down, which is obviously considerably less than the other car manufacturers. However, if they do decide to exit, then this sum is likely to increase considerably. So the total write-down so far for the car industry equates to around $2.6 billion. However, this is really the tip of the iceberg, because the reason that these car manufacturers set up these joint ventures and facilities in Russia was in order to sell millions of cars every year into the Russian market. So this was really a long-term investment to generate income for a very long period of time. And by walking away from this relationship, obviously they're losing all of that future revenue. And one of the things with car manufacturers is that they operate their supply chains in a truly global fashion. So parts and materials are produced all across the world and moved backwards and forwards. So Russia have taken over a lot of these facilities, but they're now struggling to be able to access some of these parts because of the sanctions that are in place against all Russian businesses. So even though they've taken over the production lines, and in theory, they could carry on producing these vehicles, in reality, because they can't get hold of the parts, these businesses are now struggling, and they're either having to try and find replacement parts from places like China, or there's been reports of vehicles being sent out without braking systems, airbags, and those sort of safety features, because they haven't been able to access them in the markets, and so they've just been making the cars and selling them without them. Russia is a developed market with 145 million people, and that's always going to prove attractive if you can lend money to them. So over the course of the last 20 years, a variety of international banks and finance institutions have either set up their own networks or gone in and bought Russian banks. And most of these institutions have now stated that they want to exit entirely from Russia, and we've got a combination of capital investment and also loan exposure to Russian individuals. So let's have a look at the impairment charges that have been disclosed so far. The French bank Société Générale had the largest exposure as a result of its ownership of Russian bank Rosbank. Directly following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, SocGen started the process of selling this stake, and it was sold to a Russian oligarch, and SocGen incurred a loss of €3.2 billion on the deal. Italian bank UniCredit had the second largest exposure to the Russian market, and so far has booked a €1.3 billion loss relating to all of the loans that it currently has out to Russian companies and individuals. French bank Crédit Agricole had the third largest exposure and has taken a hit of €500 million. Austrian bank Raiffeisen International had a variety of branches and so far has taken a hit of €301 million. Italian insurer Generali also had large exposure and so far has taken a hit of 138 million euros. American bank Citigroup had developed a commercial and consumer banking business in Russia over the course of the last 20 years and so far has incurred charges of $170 million relating to that exposure. And Swiss banking giant UBS has so far written off $100 million and so far has reduced its loan exposure from $600 million to $400 million. Now, as with the other industries, these are just the headlines. These are the biggest exposures that have been declared so far. There will be lots and lots of others in terms of smaller banks, other lenders, other finance businesses that have been operating in Russia. But the total sum of all of the figures we've just been through is around $5.6 billion. But it's likely that the actual cost will be significantly more. Firstly, we've got loan exposure. So a lot of these organizations have actually provided loan facilities to companies in Russia. Now, obviously, as Russia is sanctioned, it's very difficult for those companies to be able to either service or repay any of that debt. So it's likely that it'll all be written off at some point in the future. But secondly, as with the other industries that we've talked about today, there is the loss going forward of revenue. The reason that these institutions wanted to set up in Russia is because it's an attractive market. They wanted to make profit. They were expanding globally. And as they're now exiting from this market, that means that their business is being cut back and therefore they won't make any profit from Russia. And of course, they're actually making large losses. As we've discussed, Russian consumers were seen as being a very attractive market for a variety of multinational companies. And let's go through some of the consumer brands who've now exited entirely from the country. Over the last 20 years or so, McDonald's have built an extensive network of stores in Russia. However, McDonald's has taken the decision to exit entirely from Russia and has sold all of its stores to a Russian business who's had to rebrand it and is not allowed to use the McDonald's name. And as part of that deal, McDonald's have incurred a loss of $1.4 billion. AB InBev, the large Belgian brewer, had a non-controlling stake in a Russian joint venture and has written off $1.1 billion as part of its exit. The Danish brewer Carlsberg had set up its own facilities in Russia and was one of the biggest brewers in the country and has incurred a write-down of $1.3 billion as part of its exit. French food company Danone had set up a dairy business in the country and has written off €1 billion as part of its decision to leave. US tobacco giant Philip Morris has discontinued sales of a number of Marlboro and Parliament cigarette products in Russia and has taken a hit of over $1 billion. Henkel, the makers of a number of consumer products, including Persil washing detergent and Pritt glue, has also incurred a write-off of €1 billion as part of its exit from the country. Now, as with all of the other industries that we've been discussing here, there are actually hundreds and thousands of other companies who had a trading relationship in Russia that I can't go on to list here. So the figures that we've just looked at equates to around €7 billion. But obviously, for these companies, the ongoing impact is the loss of future sales because these are all consumer products. So these are things that people are buying on a regular basis. So the whole point of these businesses is that they will make profit on a daily and weekly basis. So if you close down and walk away from your businesses, obviously you lose all of that future revenue, all of that profit. And once again, as with a lot of the other companies, there is an establishment process here. So these businesses went through the pain of setting up all of their stores, setting up all of their facilities, all of their distribution, building their brands, building their recognition with all of the consumers, establishing themselves as products that people wanted to buy. That's the upfront cost that goes alongside these businesses. And once you've established your name, brand, and reputation, then you can sit back and watch the profits flow through. And unfortunately for all of these companies, they're having to cut that off and walk away and leave the Russian entities that are buying these businesses to make all the future profit. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to remind you of what the implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine are on the global economy, because it's not just about the sanctions and Russia being deprived of oil and gas revenue. There's a whole host of companies that had been selling products, doing business with Russia over the course of the last 20 years, who are now losing all of that revenue. They're losing all of the investment that they put into the country, and going forward, they won't have any relationship at all. So there's really two legs to that relationship. Firstly, there's the investment cost. So all the money and time and effort that was put in at the front end to establish these businesses and to get them off the ground. And then secondly, there's the ongoing revenue, the future profits that all of these companies were banking on as part of their global investment strategy. So all of the companies that we talked through today have been directly impacted. And these are just a small percentage of all of the companies that had trading relationships with Russia. The write-off figures that we've walked through today today equate to around 70 billion euros. But the real number is likely to be in the hundreds of billions when you take account of all of the other companies that I haven't mentioned. But the real impact for the global economy is the fact that all of these businesses are losing their future profits. So we will see a reduction in the size of those companies. They'll sell less because they're not selling anything into Russia now, and therefore they will make less profit, and overall they will see a contraction in their businesses. So this is one of the reasons why we're looking at a global slowdown in 2023, because a lot of companies have had to close down one of their markets overnight. But by far the biggest impact here will be the impact on Russia, because one of the reasons that Russia was expanding and wanted to invite in all of these multinational companies was to develop its own markets. It wanted those companies to come in with their expertise to build world-class businesses in Russia so that all of the consumers in Russia could have choice and buy things that they wanted. They wanted to become a highly developed society. So they wanted cutting-edge products. They wanted to be able to buy the latest cars that looked fantastic that you could see in magazines. They wanted all of that in Russia. And because of the war in Ukraine and because of the sanctions, they've had to cut off all of that supply. So going forward, some of these businesses have been taken over by Russian counterparts. So they will try to carry on as they were. But as I mentioned earlier in the video, things like the automotive industry are truly global. All of the parts are developed in different countries around the world, and then they're moved all across the globe in order to get the final product. So once you cut off your relationship with the owners of those brands, it's impossible to be able to get all of those parts. So even though you've got the factory and the facilities, you can't just carry on as normal and keep producing vehicles because you don't have all of the pieces to make the jigsaw. And what Russia will also find is that just because you take over the facilities doesn't mean that you've got the same business, because you've lost all of the people, all of the knowledge, all of the expertise, all of the research, all of the marketing, all of the things that go into making a world-class multinational business. And these things take decades to set up. So it's very similar to what we've talked about in terms of technology. You can't just create a world-class business overnight by inheriting the factory or taking over the name or deciding that you know what the formula is and how to create some yogurt. It just doesn't work in the same way. So what Russia is currently experiencing is that although they've taken over these businesses, in some case for 1 ruble or 1 euro, so basically they've got all of that investment for free, they won't have the same business because the people have left, and therefore the ideas, the creativity, the marketing, all of the things that go into making a brand and a business successful won't be there going forward. So the bottom line for Russia and these businesses is that they won't be as effective, they won't be producing the same quality, they won't be producing the same volume, and they won't be achieving anything like the revenues that they were experiencing historically. And also, you have to look at what's going on in the Russian consumer market, because Russia is under sanctions at the moment. So imports are limited, so people are restricted in terms of what they can buy, there's less choice available. And also, we're seeing the Russian economy shrinking. It's officially in recession right now. So Russian consumers are tightening their belt. They're not buying as much as they were historically. So these businesses are coming now from a standing start, and they're having to try to sell to consumers who are cautious about spending. So going forward, it's likely that we'll see the Russian economy shrinking, partly as a result of the contraction in the economy, and partly as a result of the fact that these businesses won't be able to produce the same quality of product, they won't be able to sell the same message, and they won't be able to deliver the same sort of volumes as they were historically. So taking a step back and looking at the big picture here, there will definitely be a negative impact on the global economy as a result of all of these companies exiting from Russia. They've lost that market. But the bigger impact will be on Russia because they've lost the support of all of these multinational brands. The facilities may still exist, and they may try to carry on as they were, but those businesses are not the same, and therefore will produce less revenue, they therefore will produce less profit, they will pay less tax, less contribution to the Russian economy, and all of this is pointing to the continued slowdown of the Russian economy. So hopefully you found the information I've shared with you today useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, give me a thumbs up. Please let me know what you think of this lighting, because I'm interested to know what colour is everybody's preference. And thank you very much for watching this video all the way through to the end.